pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, first thing on the agenda is approval of minutes for September 20th.
I move we approve the minutes, the supplement, or supplement minutes for September 20, 2016.
Second.
Discussion. Anything to add? No? Okay, all in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Correspondence. I received something from Connecticut Green Bank. Anyway, it is with mixed emotions that we announced that after more than a decade, Connecticut Green Bank has decided to bring its support of the Clean Energy Communities Program to a close. The award-winning program will continue, however, it will now focus exclusively on energy efficiency and will be administered solely by our partners Eversource Energy and United Illuminating. So it was a program that they had that they're discontinuing. We did receive an email from Louise Panoff about the Burrville Town Council meeting that was held on the 22nd as to what is going on over there. You have that to read. And as you know, we did send a letter, you know, not in support of the project. And they were talking about resolutions and stuff that had been sent and given us an update. We also have here from the Sexual Assaults Crisis Center of Eastern Connecticut, thank you for the contribution of $100. We have a letter from Rainey Morin to the P&Z, directed to them concerning the proposed solar fields in the town, and that paraphrasing that maybe we should be reviewing our zoning regs and so forth because of the fact that they could be unsightly and a variety of things along that nature. You're invited to Northeast Placement Services October 21st on Friday the 11th, Route 169 South Woodstock for a ribbon cutting of our new horticultural program, the Dancing Tomato. We'd like all who have been part of our endeavor from the start or who will be in the future to share our excitement. The seed was planted some time ago and it's now growing. Refreshments will follow the short ceremony. We look forward to seeing you. I'll post that. October 18th, the Chamber of Commerce is holding a men's health and wellness breakfast at Grill 37 in Putnam, Putnam Street, Pomfret. If you're a member of the Chamber, it's $16.20 for non-members. And there is a business showcase, Fall in Love with the Businesses of Northeast Connecticut, tomorrow, October 5th. That's going to be at the Wyndham Tallin Country 4-H Clamp from 5 to 7. That's 326 Taft Pond Road, Pomfret Center. Cost is $7.13 for non. And we're having the 6th Holly Jolly Tommy Toy Fun Auction and Gala at the Thompson Raceway Restaurant Friday, November 11th. From 6 to 9 p.m. They're looking for some sponsors at different levels from 1,000 down to 100. That will be posted out there. And we did get some correspondence from, as we all did, from Norm Babbitt concerning some signs and some of the other items he's mentioned in the past.
Okay, I got that. Mind if I read that?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
It should have been in your box. They all, everybody got it. And that's what I have for correspondence. Does anybody have anything else?
No correspondence.
At the last meeting, I received correspondence from the Southbridge Fire Department, just thanking our Quinnebog volunteers and other mutual aid that assisted in the fires towards the end of last month.
I thought I read that last month.
Yeah. You did. Oh, you read it from the town council, from the town manager. There was a separate one just from the fire department.
Oh, I had the one from that was mailed in directly from the town.
Yep.
Town of Southbridge. Okay. All right. Selectmen's comments. I've got a variety of things.
Are you starting?
If you would, please.
Just a small item.
What do you have?
I've been following up on the payphone at the community center. A little bit. It's, for those of you that aren't aware of it, the payphone is located, go in the library, it's sort of on the right-hand side. It's in the common area. It's not actually in the library itself. It's not in any of the common, in the rooms. It's sort of in the hallway. So it's accessible even when the library is closed, but only when the building is open. It's a payphone. You have to pay to use it. You have to use some coins to be able to access the phone. I'm quite sure you can't use a credit card in it. So it's somewhat limited use. It was used less than 70 times last year. To have that phone there, just to have it available to be used, and again, it's only available when the building is open, so it's not available on Sunday, not available when the building's closed. So if you had an emergency, you need to use it at midnight, can't use it. When you use it on Sunday, it's not available. When you use it at 2 a.m. in the morning, can't use it. It cost us $840 a year to have that phone there. And then it cost the user money for putting money into the phone itself to be able to use it. So one of limited use because of the time limits on access to the phone itself. Very expensive considering the fact that it's used less than 70 times last year and at a cost of $840 to have that phone there. Plus the cost for the user to actually use the phone. The library trustees voted to discontinue that phone, but they ended up deciding that because the phone is in the community center that they really didn't have jurisdiction on it. So the librarian decided to renew the contract, citing that the trustees didn't have, I guess she felt the trustees didn't have jurisdiction because it was in the community center part of the building. And I think she needs some guidance from us. I think it'd be appropriate for us to give her some guidance to say that we would like to avoid that expenditure and discontinue an $840 expenditure for a big phone. I think that here's an expense, not a huge expense for the town, but it's of limited use. As I said again, less than 70 uses last year, only available for selected portions of the day. And I might argue that if somebody came in a real emergency, that the library, if it was open, which it is open most of the time, the building is open, if somebody came in a real emergency, that I'm sure they could use a library phone. If somebody came in when the library was closed, but there was a meeting there, then I'm sure my house is on fire, there's been a car accident out front, I'm sure that someone there would be willing to let them use their cell phone. So I think that the real usefulness of that phone is so limited. It's real necessity. It's use of a potential emergency is so limited that I think the $840 could be better utilized elsewhere in our town. So I'd like to suggest that we add to our agenda a motion to a discussion of and a vote on the continuation of the use of the payphone in the town's community center. And again, just to think about that, it's only in one of our villages in our town. Someone in Quinnebog really can't have access to that, doesn't have access to it unless they drive miles. Someone in Mechanic Hill really doesn't have use to that. And East or West Thompson really doesn't have use to that. It's limited to only, would be of only use to very few people, only very limited times of the day. And alternatives are really available for most opportunities. And I think alternatives are available should there be a true emergency. So again, for $840, I think there are better ways to spend our money. So I think we should give guidance to our library director and give her and vote and establish her, if you don't mind adding this to the agenda, either not today, at our next meeting, and discontinue use of this expense. That's my comment.
Do you have any?
No, just thanks for everyone who attended Thompson Community Day. It was a really nice day, especially if you were able to stay in the sun. It was a little chilly otherwise, but it was another great event, and we had a lot of vendors that attended and some great new performances by Bradley Playhouse and others. So it was another fun year in the park. I would like to see a discussion further had at some point on the payphone issue that Steve brought up.
Okay. I agree. We can have a discussion on it.
Okay.
If there is a contract, I'd like to know when that expires, so that probably for our next meeting.
Okay, super.
So that way we could have that, at least that information at hand, so that way we can have a discussion.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's fine. Anything else, Shana?
No.
Okay. All right. I get quite a bit. Aquatic Road Bridge reopened Monday at 3:35 p.m. Contractor will complete the roadside landscaping next week. And the rest of the guardrails will go up on the bridge itself as soon as they come in, which is expected next week. I want to thank everybody for being patient during the construction and the inconvenience that, you know, were put out traveling through that area. But if anybody's driven over the bridge, it was well worth the wait. The bridge is done. It was done well, and it will service us for many years to come. NECOG will be covering animal control starting on October 12th until further notice while Mary is out. Building maintainer Pete Ernst has started on 921, has started with yard work, and is progressing with the list of things that we keep sending his way. CME did complete a survey of the parking lot out back. I did send that over to Connecticut Water. They sent back a couple of their concerns with the configuration. Not that they're against, because they want to resolve it, but one was having to do with some of the easement and the driveway location. So that was sent back to CME for the review of that. And as soon as I get that back, hopefully we'll have that a better definitive on that, so we can bring that to P&Z and then over to town meeting for the change in that. On a sad note, if anybody has dealt with the town of Putnam, their town manager, Doug Cutler, passed away on Monday. I think Smith and Walker was handling all of the arrangements. I did not catch, but there is something about, I think, Woodstock Congregational Church on October 8th. Is they're having services there. I did not see any calling hours, but it is on Smith and Walker. And I have worked with Doug and so forth, and he's been a world of cooperation and knowledge, you know, when we've conversed back and forth in various you know, items. So to his family.
I think it was a surprise.
Excuse me?
I think it was a...
It was a surprise. He had taken ill on Friday, and he passed away in the hospital a few days later. Okay, HVAC at the library has been submitted to Eversource for review for the incentives and the low interest on the... based on the information that we had gotten from Ty and Bond about the heat pumps. So that just went in this week. So as soon as Eversource gets back, we'll have an idea of what the financial situation will be and which direction to go. Community Day went very well. I wish to thank everybody that attended and all of the many people who helped organize and made it such a success. The home energy program that we had done through the town, you know, in cooperation with Eversource. I actually had had them come out on Saturday as one of the first people, and had them do an audit of my home. They were very professional and informative. They swapped out several light bulbs, performed some caulking and some weather stripping, you know, and was amazed that some of the areas that were leaking some cold air and stuff into the house. So I would recommend people take advantage. And if you are income eligible, of course, the program, I believe, is at a bare minimum or it's free and they come out. So I did have that done. The bridges in town were inspected by DOT. I received the report since our last Board of Selectmen meeting. I met with the inspector, Bill Freeman, from DOT this afternoon with Leo, and we went over all of the issues with the bridges in town. We currently have two bridges that are poor, and they are from a variety of reasons. One of them is the Aquatic Town Farm Road Bridge over East Thompson Road by Kingsbury Lane. That bridge was done roughly, I think it was 1999. And the issue with that is what they call scour critical. It's the water that goes, it washes away the footing under the abutment. Yep. And other than that, the bridge is in great shape. So they made recommendations how to, you know, to resolve that where we can do that in-house. So that was the reason why I had him come down to see what we could do with a variety of those type of issues. So Leo was knew what to do. Some things was flex beam, some cracks in the asphalt, you know, do some joint sealing, and some are some mortar and those type of issues. So, and eventually it'll help prolong the bridges and not getting where they have to be repaired, you know, replaced in the next year or two. So, but these are normal things. And a lot of our railings in town on the bridges, because they were back, they were built decades ago, do not meet current standards today. So they automatically come up and put us into the fair category on some of the bridges. But most of the issues that we do run into are, you know, the items that we can, you know, alleviate through town, and, you know, some of it will be some painting under the bridges for rust preventive, you know, some of the steel structures, and get that squared away and, you know, prolong that, because scale rust and everything weakens it. So, but they will rate him as fair. But we Leo knows what he needs to do. He's got all the paperwork, and he will be dealing with that.
I'm sorry, you said there were two bridges that were rated poor?
Yeah, there was, it was Aquatic Road. I just gave everything to Leo, and there was another one.
Okay.
And I can't remember exactly what the issue was, but the issue could be easily remedied. The bridge, well, it'll never come out of poor because of the overall everything, but it will not make it go where it has to be replaced tomorrow. And again, a lot of that has to do with...
That was the... there were two bridges that were rated poor?
Yes.
The other one was?
I can't remember
which one
it was. One of them definitely was the one that we had done, and that was because of the
scouring.
The footing and the scouring. So we will do everything. We have the potential for the Hurricane Matthew to come up this weekend. Emergency management in the town will be ready when needed. Steve is already working on those issues. The assessor's position, we need to finish reviewing those applications. If you could get them in by Friday and over to Marie so we can, or if you already got it, that's great.
It's October 23rd.
Yeah, that's an error. That's why I'm reminding you today, if you can get that in, into it for Friday. And you already got it, so we can get those scheduled. Okay. I just received the notice in the mail today. Notice to the abutters of property abutting the 49.1 acre industrial land behind Quinn Shirt Shop. There's a proposed solar field that's going in up there to power the old Quinn Shirt Shop. So because it's a special permit application, all of the abutters get notified. The town was notified because of Phelps Pond, and it's within a couple couple hundred feet of that 49 acres where they do the bonfire with recognition on Main Street next to the carriage over there, because we own part of that. Tuesday, October 11th at 7 p.m. at the Library Community Center, they will be holding the public hearing on that. Okay. To FYI, I am checking on quotes for the second floor rug in the hallway upstairs. The rug is, if anybody's been up there lately, it's lifting up, and it's going to become a tripping hazard. I did have a rug company come in to see if we could stretch it back out, lay it back down, and do it, and they said it's already been stretched as far as it can go, and it needs to be replaced. So that will come out of our maintenance budget. Highway Department will be working on sweeping the roads that have been chip sealed in the last few weeks. They'll be working on that in the coming days. I do have for each of you, the access to public records policy. When we had the FOIA class of a few weeks ago, this was reviewed. There was questions that came out of that on the policy. So Marie reviewed that with Tom Hennick on some of the stuff that she had learned in the class, and looked at our policy and made some recommendations based on what came out of the class and talking with Tom Hennick. And if you could just take a look-see at it and give her any thoughts on it. If you have any concerns, that would be good. Economic development. I know Shana wasn't there. Steve, you were at the last Board of Finance meeting. There was a Graustein report about economic study that was done. If you remember, it was discussed at the Board of Finance.
I don't recall that name, but...
Yeah, it was for the economic study, and it came up as the Graustein report study that was done, and that Teague had administered it, and Joe Lindley was going to look for it. And I did reach out to Teague on that, and they looked through all of their records, because they do the Graustein grants and so forth in conjunction. They could not find anything, and that was even picking Donna Grant's recollection as well, because that would have been during her tenure, because they have a record of everything. So we're still looking for that. And we are still awaiting, was it CERC, the CERC, which is in conjunction with the economic development of the state, because the study had been suggested by the board during budget times. And we did have a meeting on that, the planner did, as to what they could offer the town for a variety of studies on economic development. So we're waiting a response back from them. And that's it. I think they covered everything. Yes. Okay. Error in our agenda that was brought to our attention. To add, I'll make a motion to add citizens' comments to 3A.
Second.
Discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So citizens' comments is next. Jody.
Can I send you an email with some pictures? I don't know if you received it. It's about the intersection where they were marked incorrectly.
Page Road and Wilson.
It's
kind of obvious.
Alan brought it up where the intersections were marked inappropriately. Then they went out to fix them, resolve the issue. Mm. And what they created was an unsafe intersection now for motorcycles. So Steve almost worked out almost a couple days after they did it. So it's almost like gravel rather than like a paint. I don't know what they did to try to resolve it, but it created a situation.
What they did do to it at the time, was, what do we call it, driveway sealer?
I know what you're talking about. They made it black, but they did it with...
It's like a driveway sealer that they put on.
Like tar or something.
It's like little BBs.
It's chip stone is what they threw down to...
Like blacktop.
Yeah, they threw it on, and obviously there was some excess that didn't stick. And that's probably what you ran over. And of course, we had, the traffic hasn't kicked it off yet, and we haven't had any rain either to move some of it, so... But they went through and they tried to take out those double hash marks in a variety of places that they shouldn't have done. But that's...
I understand why they did it, I'm just bringing up that it created a safety, from a visual safety issue to an actual physical safety issue.
Hal?
Hal Avery, 33, Mandel. First time I'm glad the bridge is back finally. And I noticed that the stop signs down next to the bridge are gone. I believe those are the towns, stop signs. But they have a bunch of other signs that need to come down. I'm surprised they didn't take them down at the same time. One lane bridge ahead, two or three other ones. I was hoping to get them down, because there again, it's misinformation. At least it's, when you get down there, it's better, you know, that, but...
Were they still up today, yeah?
Yesterday, when I came tonight.
Yeah, they were supposed to be taken.
They took the stop signs and the blinking lights down, but there is other informational signs that need to come down. They got the poles up in the bottom field of the, those electrical poles that they had replaced because of the affiliated woodpeckers.
Oh, you mean up at your place?
Right. And there's big holes, you know, the poles are lying there, but there's no spring bed right now. If we get some real rain from this hurricane, that bottom field is going to be a disaster area. Because they filled it in with gravel. I went down the other day and I said, whoa, what are you doing? He goes, I'm flattening it out. I said, that's supposed to be a spring. He goes, well, that's not my job. We hear this all the time.
So, are they out of there or are they still there?
What's that?
Are they done up there?
They're done, but all the...
No, I mean, they're still not doing any work up there.
No, no, they got the poles up, they got the wires hooked up, but all those pads are still in place. Those have to go, you know, because they're right over the stream, so they can't dig out the stream until those are gone. But, you know, like I said, I got some real concerns here. Right now, what's going to happen is if that stream fills up, the water's going to hit where the new pole is, then it's going to shoot out into the field and make the field a disaster. It's happened once before due to them also. We have let Sean know, and he says it will be fixed. I just, you know, no one knew a hurricane might be in the water.
Yeah.
I'd like to see him get those pads out and fix that screen bed.
I'll reach out to CL and Pete tomorrow.
All right, thank you.
Ray Dewey, 168 Quinnabog Road. Back on September 6th, there was a questionable comment pertaining to a possible problem with new road markings with intersections. I don't see any real problem. At intersections like Wilsonville Road and Lowell Davis Road, I thought the new markings were definitely useful, maybe even important in bad weather. The markings were in accordance with Section 3B.08. of the Connecticut Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices, applicable to all state and town roads. Most states allow the same markings. Once these state-approved road markings were in, was there a good reason, more than the one far-out comment, to have them removed?
Did you get the statute in that, Tina? Can you give me a copy of that, Ray?
It's 864 pages.
No, I mean just the statute, so I can...
3B.08.
3B.
Connecticut Manual on Uniform Traffic Control Devices. Often called just the MUTC. MUTCD.
Give it to me after, please.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything else, Ray?
That's it.
Thank you. Anybody else? Hey, Paul.
Hi.
What do you got?
Paul Bear, Thompson Road. Regarding the road striping, whether it's allowable or not, now the taxpayers got to pay twice. We seem to like to just waste taxpayer dollars instead. If they were approved, why were they removed? If they weren't approved, why were they put there in the first place? Who made these decisions, and will it be deducted from their paycheck? I think the taxpayer should have to keep doling out because somebody screws up. Wait a minute. Somebody screwed up, may be liable or slander. But that's the truth. Once again, somebody decides something, somebody else decides something else. You go back and you pay twice for the same thing. P&Z has an standing FOI complaint against it. And there appears to be members who refuse to take responsibility for their actions and violations, even when found that they were in violation, and blame it on it being reported. They wasted $2,500, over $2,400, excuse me, in legal fees. As you know, that's the cost of one set of turnout gear for firefighters in this town. The payphone issue at the library, that's been going on for years. I brought that up years ago. The cost that we wasted on the payphone. They signed a contract, so the town doesn't even get any revenue from the payphone. You could buy, we looked into it when I was going to the library meetings, you can buy a payphone and own it and keep the funds for $500 to $600. Instead, they fork out $840. Heck, in 3 years, what's that come out to? $2,520? Gee, once again, that's a set of turnout gear for a firefighter in Thompson. Oh, since we're talking about fire departments, they're grossly underfunded. As you were given, I think you were given correspondence from a fire department stating how much they needed to become compliant with NFPA by the end of the year. Sizable chunk of money. You have firefighters in this town that you are putting at risk by them not being compliant, knowingly. Knowingly and not doing something elevates it to gross negligence. And you no longer have immunity from liability. There's no of our report that explains willful and wanton negligence. I believe the quote was put in, stick a fork in it, town's going to be done. You have a firefighter gets injured with gear that's not applicable or valid anymore in violation of NFPA, the town's got nowhere to go. This has been on the record for years. The fire departments have come here and brought their issues. Nothing's changed. You send people into a building and they don't have the proper equipment and something happens, you're done. The town's insurance costs are going to be astronomical. Not to mention, that may even elevate it, my opinion, to a criminal matter, that you're aware of this and you continue this activity. You had fire departments come in here and tell you that they have tires that are past their service life. If they're responding to a call and have an accident and run into somebody, the town's liable. The fire department's liable. Just my opinion. You seem to want to keep putting this under the rug. Nobody wants to talk about it. You didn't like my comments. You had the documentation that supported what I stated. And that documentation is going to the Attorney General's office so they can look into it. You had fire departments come in here to answer questions about membership. I wonder if, and the questions were, you didn't want to offend anybody. You didn't want to manage their departments with the comments. You're giving them money, a meager amount as it is. It's nowhere near enough for the fire departments. But they need to stand here and answer
and give answer for how they're operating. You have, the question came out, what would you do with members if they came and they had records? You have an individual who has a reckless driving conviction, a DUI conviction, and this is now a training officer for one of the departments. Our first selectman, you're an officer of the Quinnebaug Fire Department. You have another member who's currently in jail for his second DUI. That should be a red flag that it's not going away. They didn't decide with the first one that I shouldn't do it a second time around. If you have somebody responding to a call and they have an accident and they had a DUI and you knew that they had this kind of record, the fork, you're done. You have liability all over the place. You have a couple of departments in town, and this isn't to embarrass anybody, this is to get them to have some standards. If you look at other fire departments, they require high moral standards and ethics. Two members of the local fire departments, convicted sex offenders. I don't know what it's going to take. Is it going to be a sizable lawsuit and the town gets sued? And you come back and go, oh, we didn't know? You know, it's on the record. Talking about the record, this idea of censoring the minutes, you're right. You don't have to put stuff, everything in the minutes that's said. You can do it like the Spartans would want it done. But the people in town should be aware of what's going on in town. And a lot of people in town can't come down here for meeting. They are working. They're working to pay their taxes that go up every year, and services go nowhere. There's only two departments in town that even felt that it's necessary to comply with the Secretary of State's filing requirements, that being West Thompson and Thompson Hill. Thompson Hill doesn't have to file because of the type of charter they have. I don't know if you noticed, there was an article about a month back, the Connecticut Secretary of State's office had fined companies approximately $1.5 million for doing business in Connecticut without being properly licensed or having a certificate of legal existence. This town hall continues to hire people from out of state that are not properly documented. This was brought up before. It was brought up at the Inland Wetlands meetings. What's so hard about putting a directive out on any application state that you will supply a certificate of legal existence in the state of Connecticut if you're an entity? Trust me, the Secretary of State's office does take it seriously. They find companies numerous times, and the attorneys there go after companies. And maybe the state should hold back money from the towns that hire. It's not only Thompson, Putnam. Article in the recent paper, looked up the company they're going to hire. Guess what? Not authorized to do business in the state of Connecticut. The Aquatic Bridge, that was over a month late in reopening, inconvenience for a lot of businesses over there and residents. There were supposed to be penalties if they didn't come in on time. Was any of that looked into? There's a bridge on East Thompson Road with a makeshift guardrail, Jersey barrier, that's got a blunt end sticking right out there. If a car comes along and catches it, I wouldn't want to have that ride, because they're probably going to end up in the brook or the marsh and have a quick stop. Inland Wetlands Commission, there should be some oversight with these people. I have a gift for the town. I didn't bring it with me because I didn't get it packaged up in town. It's about leadership. Leadership is an action, not a position. The town now is going to have serious legal bills from the Inland Wetlands Commission and the hearings that they conducted regarding the Star Road fiasco. The website, is that going anywhere? We heard the files were going to be reloaded onto the website. We haven't seen one recording put on the website since your tenure began. We were told this was going to be a change. I don't see the change. I supported your candidacy because the people deserve to have information put out there. You have a website, have it populated. It doesn't take that much to put. Why aren't the recordings up there for the media so people who can't come can listen to it if they choose? The budget. Thank you, Steve, for looking into the library's custodial issues and comments regarding the maintainer for the building. I've had numerous times in the past year and previously in this town to cut staffing. It's happening everywhere. The state's cutting staffing. Thompson seems to be going on like the band played on. You'd be moving your deck chair on the Titanic for a better view. You had an opportunity, the custodian at the library. Nope, you didn't have to let anybody go. You could have just not filled the position. Building maintainer, we're just told that he's working out in the grounds. I thought the building was in such bad shape that he was supposed to be working on the building. We had the tax office. You had a person go. The first thing the last regime did was come in and hire the third person in the tax office. The rec department won't be popular. You had another opportunity to cut staffing. This town loves to hire people and build an empire. And it's costing people their homes. I see another house for sale on Pompeo, Passe, whichever road I'm driving. Every time I drive around, there's another house for sale. And I don't see a lot of them being sold. Thank you.
Al.
I had something I forgot. I wanted to talk about the phone at the library. Steve's statistics, if it's 70s, $12 a phone call we're paying for that last year. That's pretty steep. I mean, I'm assuming those are local calls.
Just to clarify, the person still has to pay.
That's just I understand that. I'm saying we as the town, we're paying $12 per call that went on. The person has to pay, right? What I don't get, how's that not part of the library? That's our entrance. How's he getting into the library?
It's in the common, it's in the hallway.
Yes, but the community center goes down to the right. So that is actually, they were just pushing it off. They didn't want to make a decision. So I think, yes, you guys need to make a decision. I heard years ago that was coming out. And my wife used to be on the radio. She found that pretty tough for the people because how they do things. The pre-meetings that some people get to go to. So, but like I said, I'm concerned. How's that not part of the library? let's say that's not part of the library, so there's no entrance to the library. You know?
If I might respond. Yeah, go ahead. There's two budgets, I think, is what I'm trying to describe. The library budget itself, and then the community center budget. And this is part of the, ends up being, it's a great question.
All right, so.
Part of the community center budget, okay. That's why, that's the definition. And that's why, even though the Board of Trustees did in fact vote to eliminate it, the library director decided in her mind that she didn't have to do that and decided to remove the contract.
Well, maybe she ought to take it out of her pocket. You know, if we started doing things like that, people make mistakes, they pay for it, there'd be less mistakes.
Anybody else?
Roman Jameson, Taylor Road, wrong side of the bridge. Very nice to have the bridge open. It's very nice, wide.
Better than one lane.
Well, definitely better, even better than the two lanes we had before, having broken the mirror once, passing a truck on that bridge. So it's very nice. On a not so positive note, the fencing on the Brandy Hill Road Bridge is kind of ugly, and I guess I missed the whole reason for that.
Safety.
I don't think it'll work. I guess it would be my other comment.
Excuse me?
I don't think it'll work in the end. Either they'll rip it down or jump around it or jump off the top of it or go somewhere else. So I don't know. I'm sorry that I probably helped pay for that. I didn't really know about it till late. I heard it was already in the works.
Thank you. I haven't gotten anything on, any update on the road list.
Okay.
All right, but I left it on there.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, I didn't know if Leo gave you one. Okay. Solar projects discussion. The solar project from the public hearing, as a board we had, had agreed to have a discussion appropriately when that would ever occur. I have reached out to the Board of Ed, and they are going to get back to me. The last I had heard from Bill Wachowski last week that they were going to figure out two or three people or whatever it may be to sit and review that. So with that, I'm waiting for Bill to tell me what the Board of Ed's intentions are on that.
I think our last meeting we discussed having a joint meeting.
Yes, between the Board of Ed and, you know, obviously include the Board of Finance as well.
Okay.
You know, with that, so Aaron is in agreement. That is a problem. I'm waiting from on Bill to let me know who they're going to, how many people, you know, obviously because you get into quorums and so forth with their meetings, and I don't know what the our pleasure is. As you know, if there's three of us there, it has to be a special meeting. We can do,
excuse me, even two of us.
That is correct. So two or more of us has to be a special meeting. We can do it as a board and have a special meeting, or one of us can sit in on it and you know, bring back the information, you know, accordingly. So that is up to whatever the board would feel is appropriate. I'm open to anything on this.
I think it's a big enough issue that probably many of we should all be participating.
Okay.
I'd be willing to go to a special meeting.
Okay. Very good. As soon as I hear from Bill, I will figure out when we can all meet and get at least have a conversation on that. So I don't know if either one of you have anything more that you may want to add on that.
No, you know, just I think it's a good idea for everyone to get together.
Very good. Okay, I have a reappointment here for the Ag Commission, and I'll make a motion that we reappoint Randy C. Blackmer is hereby reappointed to serve as a member of the Agricultural Commission for the town of Thompson, term to end August 1st, 2020. It's Board of Selectmen, Kenneth Bosley, Shana Smith, Stephen Herbert. And Randy has been on this for many, many years, and they do need to keep their membership in order to have their quorum.
I second that.
Okay, discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. On the agenda, we have a request, a proclamation request for Red Ribbon Week from Natchog River Young Marines, and I will make a motion on the proclamation. Okay, whereas Red Ribbon Week is a campaign to show support of ridding communities of illicit drug use and those that traffic and profit from illicit drugs. Whereas Red Ribbon Week will take place October 23rd through October 31st, 2016. Whereas the Natchog River Young Marines located in Daville, Connecticut, along with the Young Marines from many surrounding towns, will actively participate in this nationally recognized illicit drug awareness event. Whereas the Natchog River Young Marines proudly stand in support of and are committed to the fight against illegal drugs and those that promote their use. Whereas the Young Marine Program promotes good citizenship and healthy lifestyle through education and awareness. Whereas the Natchog River Young Marines is an opportunity for local youth to educate and promote healthy, drug-free lifestyle. Be it resolved that the Board of Selectmen of the Town of Thompson, on behalf of all of its residents, that October 23rd through October 30th, 2016, be declared as Red Ribbon Week, and further calls upon all citizens to consider joining in this observance by wearing a red ribbon during Red Ribbon Week. In witness thereof, we here unto set our hand and cause the seal of the Town of Thompson to be affixed. Signed the 4th day of October 2016 by Kenneth Bosley, Shana Smith, Stephen Herbert, its Board of Selectmen. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, we have a request from Community Fire Company to hold a boot drive to the Board of Selectmen. The Community Fire Company will be conducting a boot drive fundraiser for a fire company on October 22nd from 8 a.m. to approximately 2 p.m. We're requesting permission to conduct a portion of this fundraiser at the Thompson Landfill. We will also be conducting a portion of this event on Riverside Drive near Main Street. Please contact Rocco Navarro in regards to permission for conducting this event at the landfill. Thank you in advance for your assistance in this matter.
So I will grant them permission to hold their boot drive on the
22nd of October,
2016.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Yeah, it's just sign it. We'll have them put it on the record. Thank you. Okay. Information on the ordinance review. I don't see it in the packet. I mean, we did hand them out in the past. We had discussed four ordinances. I thought I had made a copy of them. I'm sorry. I know it's on my desk. I'll give it to you after. It was the four. It was the inland wetlands, the conservation, the constables, and the emergency management, changing that from civil defense to so forth. The ordinance committee met last Thursday, and they had gone over these, and they were comfortable with the stuff they had presented to us in the past to move that forward. With a pending town meeting that will be coming up on the for referendum just on the library roof, and other things that could be coming up in short order, such as, you know, the parking lot, which I have to go to town meeting, if you could, and I will give it to you.
Ken, since we don't have these,
I don't have
with
it.
Us, is there any reason we could put this off till next time?
Yeah, and I'll get you the info.
Is there time? I mean, can we?
No, that's fine.
Can we? Okay.
But I figured I'd let you know that. No. And I'll give it to you.
I remember we got them. Yeah. We got them last time. I just didn't bring them with me either.
Yeah, I
didn't. I didn't see them in my
bag. On my desk. Either, so, but those are the four that they do wish to move forward.
Thank you.
And if we put too much on there, I think we'll end up with a major issue with, you know, getting some of that passed. One of the, it was suggested, just to give you some thought, that with the three referendums that we had last year, I mean, this past budget season, and I think it's the third week that we do the referendum, the annual town meeting and the referendum, that we may want to consider possibly moving that up earlier in the month, you know, with timeframes, because the budget is pretty much done, but this would have to be a discussion between Board of Ed, Board of Finance, and the Board of Selectmen to make sure that we can complete the budget on time and have time to move it forward to a possible earlier date in the month in case we have continued referendums.
You're talking about the spring?
Yeah, the next coming up. So that may be a potential. There is an ordinance in place that states the time that we do it currently right now. Go ahead, Al.
Actually, it was recommended by Rainey Warren, and we didn't vote on it. We just said, you know, bring it to you, but it was actually the third week in April that suggested. Rainey Warren says there's only one other town, I believe he said, in Connecticut that's as late as us, that most of the rest are either the very beginning of May, in April, and some are in March. That we're laggards, we're way behind everyone else trying to, you know, do our budget stuff. Thank you.
Okay. So, something to consider. Any other thing on ordinances anybody wants to? All right, next is.
I'm sorry, just a conversation. Once it is all finalized, the language, and it's ready to go before the townspeople, I would recommend that it be posted on the homepage of the website, clearly spelled out and labeled this time around.
Yeah, we will put that up. Final review for legal ease and so forth does always go through the town attorney as a final review.
Yep.
Okay. All right. Number 10, the highway maintainer position. We currently have one of our workers that is retiring as of October 20th. Okay. So we will be looking to go through the process of refilling that position, going through with the union contract notifications and the posting of the position, and then being an equal opportunity employer, get it out, advertisement, and then go from there and fill that. So that will be in the process, and I will keep you advised of that going forward.
Do you know how long he was with the town?
10 years. Okay. Item 11, the ICE program. The Intertown Capital Equipment Purchasing Incentive Program. The past administration started some conversations. This comes about through NECOG, where some of these grants come out. I don't know if you read this.
I did.
Okay. And the state will fund, I'm not sure if it's an 80-20 percentage, but there's a percentage of what they will fund. The
looks like $235,000 is coming from the state, if I understood that right.
Actually,
right here, 235, state grant.
Grant 235. This was a list of other towns for equipment.
No, but that's our.
Yeah, that's ours,
our
right
particular grant is 235.
Correct. So.
Change.
Mm-hmm. So this was something that was initiated through the past administration, and actually when we were talking about the budgets and so forth, I had reported that NECOG, the governor had said there wasn't going to be any funding on any of this stuff, and it did come through.
If I might interrupt for a second, okay. I think there's actually NECOG. This is three towns, and I don't think it's...
No, you're correct. But it initiated through the COG with the meeting of all of the members at the COG who would want to venture into partnering like they did with the mower, you know, with the three towns with CLMD. So with all of that, it actually came to fruition, and the money did come forward. I was unaware of it. We did find out about it. And the cost share of the, and you did look at the truck. It's a, I can't remember the make of it. It's in the package. But it's similar to the truck that we use to haul bulky waste at the town hall, up at the transfer station.
A rebuild or something at the town hall.
Yeah, it's called a grappler truck. But it's a, you put on the 30-yard container, it slides on, there's a, hoist and a grapple that that they use to fill the containers, such as when the hurricane.
Like my little logs on it.
Logs, a brush, that type of stuff. It's a multi-purpose truck that is used to do that. It's used to, especially in storms and so forth, when there's a lot of damage, where the towns would turn around and pile it up alongside the roads, and then they would use the truck a week at a time, 2 weeks at a time, whatever, and go around and clean up and then haul the stuff in using the 30-yard containers. The truck also can be used in the design for bulky waste because you can put the container on it. We did have an issue this year where our truck did go down, the piston, the hydraulic lift piston did let go, and the amount of money that we spent to hire a contractor to haul our bulky waste for the week while the truck was down was $4,000, you know, for 1 week hauling the stuff that we need to go out when the truck went down. And the other use of the truck for us would be, we currently use the one that we have by putting the 30-yard container when we were asphalting. Instead of sending out three 9-ton dump trucks, they fill the 30-yard container and haul the asphalt with that. So, and we can use that truck in the same fashion as well, which would alleviate any of the, you know, the smaller trucks hauling asphalt. And asphalt keeps warmer, you get more done, and it's only tying up one guy traveling. So that's a rundown of the truck and the usage, and that would be worked out in contract, you know, for maintenance and sharing and be spelt out. We did not budget for this. The truck, talking with Randy over at the... At the Killingley Highway Garage, who's their foreman, I did make him aware that we did not budget for this. We were unaware. It is a $20,000 commitment between Woodstock, us, and Killingley putting in to offset the, you know, the part of the grant.
That was the one thing I didn't see, and I was just trying to review it again. The $20,000, I didn't see that in there. Could you help me out?
I don't know where to find it. This is the numbers that he gave me during the meeting. That's approximately what the share would be. And like I told him, we didn't budget. Okay. Not that I'm not, you know, it makes sense. The truck can have some advantages to the town. But right now, we can't commit any money because we don't have it. It hasn't been budgeted. So the only thing that, so he's looking for a commitment that we're still interested in partaking in this, you know, with this triaxle truck, Western Star. And so that way they can continue to run this through. And I'm reluctant to sign this without a stipulation that we're in agreement pending funding.
Yeah, subject to approval or something like that, yeah.
Pending funding. Because I can see the advantage of having the truck during emergencies and using it for the other types of items that we can. So, you know, $235,000 truck in that area.
Well, the $235 is what the state's providing.
But I mean, the total cost to buy a truck of that amount, I don't ever see that in our budget.
Oh, no, that means yes.
You know, and that's what I mean referring to that. So it does give us an avenue of getting that type of truck if we so need it and to use it accordingly. So, but they are looking for a commitment, and like I said, for the commitment on this, I would be not inclined to without, you know, it be known in the motion, et cetera, pending, you know, funding approval, because we can't commit beyond that without it, so.
First, just to make sure we all understand this, this would be something like if a hurricane came through, knocked trees on the road, this would be there.
Correct.
Grab it, throw it into the hopper behind it, essentially, get the stuff off the road, accident on the highway, you could pick up debris, et cetera, et cetera. That's really the emergency uses of this vehicle. Something we don't have the capability of now.
Correct, not with the grapple type to pick up logs.
Right, so this would really be very useful.
It can be advantageous.
Capability we don't have now.
Correct.
So this is truly an enhanced capability for our Department of Public Works.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they could be clearing roadsides, just some normal maintenance. Pile it up, and then we can go around with the truck and pick it up.
I want to make sure.
It can be used in those areas. So Leo did have some input on the truck, because we wanted to make sure that we could put the container on it and use it in the fashion that I had described, you know, for asphalt and so forth, because it makes it more advantageous. It's not a problem, it's a slight modification, as the truck hasn't been ordered yet.
Okay.
So they were in agreement to do that as well.
So potential cost savings then in some ways.
Well, it's a way how the tail is in the back, so when you lift the truck in order to slide the container off.
So this would be potential cost savings then compared to our current equipment.
It's the equivalent of the current equipment that we have using now,
right,
with the exceptions it doesn't have the grapple hoist hook on it.
So this could actually save us some money if we had this vehicle.
Yes. So on breakdowns so forth, this would be available. Okay. Yes.
And the thing, the couple of things that just to review. The maintenance on this is really the town of Killingly. They're going to be the owner of this vehicle.
They will be the keeper of the vehicle, yes.
And they're responsible for maintenance, except that we're responsible for, I think if I understand this right, our share. If it breaks down when we're using it, we're responsible for that.
Correct.
I think that's sort of the basic concept on the maintenance. So the agreement goes for 20 or 30 years, I forget.
20 or 30 years.
I'm trying to remember how it's spelled out, actually. And again, I apologize, I left mine at work. 20 years, sorry.
Which would be about the extended life of a vehicle. 20 years would be...
Except we make them stretch for 30 or 40.
Sure, but so that would be the reasonable...
That's the reasonable expectation.
One
little comment on the agreement is that it, for some reason, they're very specific about defining the mailing address of our town. And since our mailing address is actually a post office box, they didn't actually use that, so I was kind of curious about it. Right on the front page here, first paragraph. They go into great detail about the mailing address of each of the towns involved.
Yeah, they didn't do it for Woodstock either.
Which is Killingly, Woodstock, and Thompson. And then they actually don't use our mailing address, they use our physical address. Yeah. So if it's so important that they really want to define mailing address, they should use our mailing address.
We can add that.
So that should be modified a little bit. Again, very picky, I know, but just if you want to make it right, we should make it right. One little thing I noticed. Mm-hmm. But it seems like a vehicle which could maybe save us some money in sort of operating in other areas, help us out in emergencies, at kind of a bargain, and we share it with other towns nearby. It sounds like in general is a reasonable idea. So. I'm still relying on Leo and you for the fact that it's going to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But if it does those things, sounds like a
yeah. Leo was
sure. Share costs, share the assets, and so forth.
Leo assured us it will.
My only concern was just making sure that there is a process in place between the public works departments in terms of an inventory or check of the truck in its condition before it leaves the town and
requires
a return.
Oh, sure.
Well, actually, it's Killingly's. So it's probably more Killingly should be more in line.
They're the lead municipality.
It's going to be based there. And if I understand this right, the sort of schedule gets developed. So you know, Thompson gets it this week or that week or whatever, barring an emergency, we would get it on Phil's particular schedule, on that particular schedule. Emergency comes up, then the town has the emergency, we have the priority.
So.
Right, but Thompson, like, we would still need to make sure that when we receive it, if for some reason, let's say Killingley had it last week and gets like a big dent in it, we're notified of the dent.
Yeah, fair enough.
Before we get it.
That would be the same thing if you're renting an automobile.
Sure.
Correct, right. So have the, all the Public Works Department heads then already had a conversation about scheduling and utilization of the?
I think we haven't defined, one of the sections of this is to define the point of contacts. And I noticed that ours hasn't been filled in yet, but I'm sure it would be Leo and you probably.
Or whoever's in the selectmen's office, correct.
And Steve, I think that they didn't use our PO box just because everyone, that they're using town halls as opposed to, I think they're referring to the town halls mailing address. Or are they referring to the mailing?
They make a big point of mailing address.
As opposed to address.
Well, they make a point of wanting the mailing address.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wonder.
If that's incorrect, then that's fine. I just, if they really want the mailing address, isn't our mailing address the PO box? I might got that wrong.
No, it's the PO box.
That's what I thought, so. Again, no biggie, I'm sure, but.
So, that's the brief overview of this that we got. And.
And at the end of the contract, the vehicle belongs to Killingley, just so we all know.
Yeah, it spells it out in the beginning, so it's good.
And again, because that $20,000 isn't spelled out there, is that $20,000 per town or total?
Per town.
Total, per town, I'm sorry. So 60 grand in addition to the
Grant.
So each town puts in 20, the rest comes from the state.
Gotcha.
Through the grant program. So, yeah, I have no problem with this. Like I said, we can't commit the funding because we do not have that secure.
So what do we need to do? Make a plea to the Board of Finance?
At some point, I would, based on when I talked with him, the truck is a year out, once they place the order. We're looking at, my recommendation would be to put it into our next budget cycle, you know, coming up in February.
Oh, so we wouldn't be seeing this for a year then, or 6 months or so?
Correct, a year.
And that's acceptable in terms of the requirements for the ICE program?
That's what I told him, that's when I could come up, you know, would it be feasible for us?
Okay, but I see this.
In the next budget cycle.
I notice this is dated October 1, 2016.
Yes, but our next budget will be coming up in February and voted for, you know, by the end of July, by beginning of.
July 1, right, so, okay, it's still going to be, you think it'll still be valid then?
Yeah, they're looking for that commitment.
Not till then, then, is that, that's all right?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you don't pay for the truck until it comes.
And we think this is worth to the town, 20 grand?
I would think it's worth it.
I'm asking. Because, I mean, this is kind of a Leo question, I mean, he's.
Yeah, like I said, we had the main hoist go down on the truck month and a half ago, and it cost us $4,000 just to use the truck for a few days to haul all of Walkley Way. So when you start, you know, thinking in terms of that, hauling asphalt when we pave and some roadside cleanup and different things as well.
Because, I mean, we're relying on the expertise.
I would expect that the 20 grand would be.
To understand whether it's worth.
That the 20 grand would be well spent having that truck and being part of that. Just like it was with the mower, and, you know, where we housed it and we ended up with that. So that would be, but like I said, I would not commit to it. The stipulation would be that the funding is secured.
I certainly understand the ability to use it in an emergency would be, you know, would be very helpful. Something falls across the road or an act car accident, something might be very, very helpful in those cases where it's cost is not quite so big, you know, not the most important issue perhaps, but.
You know, anything could fall through, we may not be able to get the funding, and I want to make that perfectly clear that that is a stipulation that they're aware of.
As excuse me for using a copy out of my office, but I think it was one of the, if not the biggest grant in the state provided to in this program.
If you look at it, there's 235.
There's 235, I think it was, of all the towns, they had 20 or 30 programs. No, not quite, there were a couple of, two others that were bigger. But among the biggest.
Significant number.
Apologize, Reverend Barnes.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Any other further comments? I would entertain the motion with that stipulation that we would partner with Killingley and Woodstock on, you know, in this program for the purchase of the truck with the stipulation.
Why don't you make the motion?
Yeah, yeah, with the stipulation that it is agreed upon, providing that we secure funding through the fort.
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, back to our favorite subject, citizens' comments.
Other business.
Other business.
Oh, other business, sorry. Do either of yous have any other business? I don't, you don't.
Just for our next meeting, just sort of quickly cut this, we're going to talk about the payphone, I think, next time.
Yep.
And did you want to put this public records policy next time as well? Is that what the purpose of testing this out was?
We can finalize.
Is that what you wanted to do?
Yes.
Is that what your thoughts?
I just handed it out so that way you could review.
Just wanted to.
Yeah, and the FOI policy. We'll add that to the next agenda. And we'll put citizens' comments where it's supposed to be. Okay. And obviously, if anybody comes up with anything in the next, between now and the next meeting, you know, please let Marie know so we can add it to the agenda. Okay, citizens' comments. Al.
33 Randall Oak Road. The ghost is here, obviously. Renee King stopped out. You know, she's been working real hard on the power plant business. And she wanted to catch up with me and find out what's been said here. And I told her how the selectmen had mailed out their feelings to the siting councils, I guess, and a bunch of other people. I told her at the time you mailed them, the application hadn't been put in, so she had a question. Does the town need to remail that letter to the siting council since they now have an application, or did they accept the letter even though there wasn't an application?
The response that I got back when I had them going by memory, that they had received the letter but made us aware that they had not received the application.
All right, so I'm wondering if that kind of just got pushed to the side, or could there be some follow-up on that?
We can send it back out.
All right, I think that would be good.
Yeah. We can remail the letter. Is that it?
Yep, that was
all right.
It.
Thank you all. Anybody else?
Roman Jameson, Table Road. Sort of related, actually, the siting council will be in Killingley doing a sidewalk and then having a public hearing, I believe, for the 20th. I believe that's the date. So if you're interested, I want to go make comments. Actually, the siting council is supposed to be in Killingley. I went to an interesting talk of learning in time last week. Martha Klein, the communications chair for the Sierra Club, Connecticut. She was actually discussing the gas line, the expansion of gas lines in Connecticut, and of course they have one going right through Thompson, so just so you're aware that that's an upcoming project that will affect our town.
That's through my garden.
Yes, absolutely.
It just what he's talking about is with the in the winter times they have problems with the natural gas coming up because they will divert it to the homeowners for use for heating versus to the power plants, where the power plants now in turn burn heating oil. So they are looking to upgrade, so flow more gas is what you're talking about with the existing pipelines and bring more in. That has been, that is in the process of running through a bunch of states.
Well, and I think her position, the Sierra Club's position in Connecticut is that this enlargement of the gas, well, first of all, it's our state energy policy to switch from oil to gas, which has not currently worked. Now that the price of oil went down, it's just cheaper than gas. So part of the reason for building these plants is to use the gas that's being fracked in Pennsylvania, etc. But the other thing is to enlarge this gas line, so it'll actually be going through Connecticut up all the way up to Maine, and the gas companies hope to get up to Maine, and then from there it's shipped to Canada and exported. So we don't really benefit that much from it. If at all, we get the disruption.
We get to have the pipeline.
And all the disruption, since I live close to the power lines, I, 2 years of noise and racket and kind of spoils the whole quiet monitoring. So those are the facilities in that area. Never mind if anyone else can do it. And so I just, if anybody's interested, it would be good to keep an eye on that and what's happening with that. Resistance to it, hopefully.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Paul.
Paul, Mayor Council, move. Regarding FOI, if you went to the class or you read the FOI Act, I believe in there you'll find that if you folks attend a properly noticed meeting of another board, that it doesn't constitute a special meeting on your behalf. There's a section that spells that out. So just because you go, but the other meeting has to be properly noticed and conducted. The Thompson Fire Service Advisory Committee. There was supposed to be a report completed.
Not as of yet.
Is there any idea when that's coming out? I mean, this is now, I'm trying to buy a watch that does decades, because this goes on and on and on. And it's a public safety issue. It was a public safety issue why that committee was formed, when the department didn't respond to a difficulty breathing call at 2:30 in the morning. Then had the death of Anita Trupain down at Gladys Green, mind you. I don't understand why, it's like we're talking about ordering a piece of the Domino's. No big deal if it doesn't get done next year, next month. I certainly hope another tragedy doesn't happen in town. Regarding Gladys Green and Pineview, I did make the suggestion when they were doing the remodel work down there that you stub out for sprinklers, put in the rough piping when they had everything open. I don't know if there's another phase coming up. There is a push in this country. It's actually not just the U.S., but there's a push to require sprinklers. And if you're remodeling, it's not that expensive to put the rough piping in and not have to go back into a retrofit. At the time, our first selectman came out in a public meeting, and it was reported. He made the statement that he wasn't for that because if one sprinkler goes off, they all go off. To the record, which is completely untrue unless it's a Deluge system, which is a specialized system for certain types of operation. They don't all go off. They didn't all go off at Walmart in some nutcase
color in that case. Some individual with issues with fires. The whole site just gave way. That was misinformation and misguided. Now that lie is what it was. If there's additional renovations being conducted down there, I think the town would be wise to look at roughing and sprinkler piping ahead of time. Thank you.
Thank you, Paul. Anybody else? Tax refunds. I'll make a motion to refund William and Lisa Barrett, $64.37. Richard Carey, $612.67. Anne Marie Chisholm, $15.90. Anne Marie and Timothy Chisholm, $107.11. Christopher I, $6.51. Christopher Eileen I, $11.47. Karen Croto, $12.61. Roland Gagare, $10.37. Honda Lease Trust, $81.15. Honda Lease Trust, $88.27. Kelly Johnson Scott, $45.08. John Langelier, $86. Walter Milestone, $56.03. Nissan Infiniti LT, $201.83. Nissan Infiniti LT, $57.41. Dale Scott, $29.18. Margaret Sellers and Patricia Devine, $28.40. Michael St. Lawrence, $37.35. Paul and Nancy Sandrosit, $15.64. Nancy and Paul, same last name, Sandrosit, $67.76. Tudis LLC, $30.05. Tudis LLC, $40.54. And Tudis LLC, $48.65. Do I have a second?
Second.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. So moved. And we will have them entertain adjournment.
Second.
Favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you all for coming.